I wonder.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Tom, and this is Grief Talk Cafe, and I am so excited. I'm with my co-host.
Darlene Rempel.
And guess what? We have a guest. And her name is Karen, and I'm excited. I'm excited, Karen, because this is a place where we share stories that heal, we share lessons learned through life and loss. Karen, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Just share a little bit about you, what you do, what you're.
So my name is Karen Hall. I am the host of the Hero Within podcast, and I am also a life coach. I am also an author and speaker, and I'm married. I have been married for 37 years. I have four married kids and five grandkids.
Grandkids.
Young. You look young. It's so good. Awesome.
We're so excited to have you here, and we're kind of on a time limit, so we're going to jump in. But please, before we started, you were sharing just about your perception of loss and how, when you went through it changed how you thought about things.
I have been through a lot of losses in my life, and I remembered when I first started learning about grief, that it, all the different stages that you go through, you're first in shock and, the depression, the anger, all the different stages. I thought it was linear. And then when I, so I learned about that when I was in college, but then when I went through my own loss and I went through several losses, and I think, okay, I'm done, with shock and denial, and I'm on to, depression or whatever. And then I'd go back to shock. I can't believe that happened. Or I'd go back to the sorrow, and it was just so shocking. And sometimes it'd only be for a couple minutes. I'd be in one stage and I'd go back to the other stage, and then I wouldn't, but I didn't progress in a linear fashion. And so that was one of the first things that surprised me about my own personal experience. And then as I was coaching people, they were so grateful to know that because they also thought, wait, what? It was like, what am I doing back here in anger again? And I could even feel some shame about it. Like, I should be done with anger. I'm done. I shouldn't be doing that anymore. So, yeah. So I thought.
That is so true. Thank you for sharing, because that is a misconception, right? We like to talk about it more like a roller coaster that you go all around and your emotions go through a roller coaster and you go through all different kinds. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes, it's so true. So true. So I a little bit about me that you asked about. So I was born premature, 2.5 months early, and I was 2 pounds 10 ounces, and then I lost down to 1 pound 13 ounces. And so the doctors told my mom that I was gonna die, that I there was no way I would survive. And because now they call them micro preemies at that stage, I was almost to that level, and but they didn't have all the technology that they do now, and so I was in an incubator, and they were just sure that I was going to die, but I didn't. And so then they told my mom, well, if she survives, she'll be a vegetable. And then I kept fighting, and you survived, and they said, well, she'll be mentally retarded. And then I kept fighting and surviving. And so my mom really w had a hard time attaching to me because she thought I was going to die at any moment. And I was so little. She would tell me, like, my palm of my hand was the size of the little pink part of your thumb, your thumbnail. It's just like, wow. And she'd put a cup, she took pictures of different things, like a cup next to me to show how little my head was. And she just said she was just kind of scared. And so, I was her first baby, and it was just very terrifying. And so anyway, I had issues with attachment, and I had issues with fear. I am sure that being alone in that incubator for all that time, my mother couldn't hold me, she couldn't nurse me or anything, that affected my nervous system. And so grief has been a difficult thing for me because I didn't really understand it. I feel things very deeply. I'm a highly sensitive person. I'm an empath, and so grief has been, it's been painful, for me when I have gone through grief, and I've had to learn to, extend grace to myself when I'm going through it, because so many people are like, you should be over it by now. And that is like one of the most painful things that I have heard, is that I should be over it by now. And when I hear anybody say that to someone else, you know, I'm quick to reach out to that person and say, you just take as long as you need. But so many of the things that I go through with times when I am having trouble regulating my own emotions mm-hmm. is because I'm grieving. And what shocks mm-hmm. me is, even though I'm a life coach and I have my own life coach and you know, so I've been doing this for a long, long time. And when my emotions get escalated, I forget. And usually it's one of my kids. I'll be saying to them, I don't know what's going on. I'll be explaining to them because now I've taught them all the things, you know, that I've learned, not all the things, but I mean, I've tried to teach them a lot of what I've learned, but as I'm going through it and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. That's my first question. What's going on? And then I express my feelings and they say, Mom, you're grieving. I'm like, I'm grieving. Oh yeah. And it's just, it makes me laugh every single time. I'm just like, wow. I don't recognize it at first when my emotions are escalated. And so I leave my prefrontal cortex, I mean, the amygdala hijack. And I'm just like, oh, I'm grieving. Oh, well, no wonder I feel so awful.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, because that's a common experience, right? I've experienced it myself and been talking to other people, and you know, and they're telling all this stuff, and then they're like, I don't know what's going on, and then you just say, I think you're grieving, and they're like, oh. Yeah, so once we can identify it, it's like, wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. I always, my first question is, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
So
awesome. So then when you get that overwhelmed feeling, when you go through, what helps you? Like, what do you do?
That is such a good question, because when my emotions de-escalate, I can think of all kinds of things to do. But when I'm, you know, emotionally,
in that moment.
Yeah. When my emotions are escalated and I am deregulated, I really can't remember what to do. And that was something that caused me a lot of shame also, because here I am, a life coach, and I teach people how to do this all the time. And then when I would go through, even when I was, you know, first learning this, and I would go through losses, I would pray a lot and I would ask the Lord, what should I do? Help me understand this situation the way you do. Help me see this person the way you do, or whatever. Help me see me the way you do, you know, so that I can feel good about myself. And then many times he would reveal things to me. And so I would write those things down. And back in the day, we didn't have cell phones, so I would just write them on index cards. And then when we got cell phones, then I would start writing my notes on my on my phone. And so I started reading those every day. You know, they were like little mantras that I had or things to do. And so I started with this little toolkit that involved the five senses. And so I would have a smell, like I love the smell of jasmine oil. And so I had a little thing of jasmine oil, and I had something that was very soft that I could touch. I had a little lamb, a little keychain that was a little lamb that was really soft. And then I had chocolate, because that was my sense of taste, and I love chocolate. And I had a picture that I would look at. And so I would just try and involve all five of my senses. And then I would use that to try and get me back to my prefrontal cortex, at least, you know, a tiny, tiny bit, so that I could think, oh yeah, go look at your phone, you know, or something. And I just kept my little toolkit. I carried it around with me. And then what I found that was absolutely fascinating was the time from the stimulus to the response shortened, the gap shortened. Wow. And as I read my little list every day, I would read it morning and night, sometimes in the middle of the day, all during the day. Mm-hmm. I was having a really stressful time. I read it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that my time of getting back to my prefrontal cortex would shorten. Wow. And I was just thrilled. I had high expectations for myself. I was still disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but I want to remember it right in the middle of the difficult thing. And so I remember the time that I had asked that question. Oh my goodness, you know, wait, what's happening? and I heard myself say that in my brain. And immediately I remembered my number one thing to do. And I was like, oh, my brain worked. And I was so excited. I was just so excited. I was, the gap was so short that it happened like almost instantaneously for me. And that taught me that the neural pathway that I had been, you know, going on. over and over again yes. was the rut was becoming deeper in my brain so that I could actually access that information. And all of that thrilled me to no end. And so then I would write about it. I write letters to God every night, and that to capture that and to remember how that felt. And then I would try and imagine feeling that same feeling again for future times when I was grieving. And then another thing that I did was mirror work. And when I was a little girl, I was very lonely, and I because I kind of felt disconnected from my mom, and she didn't, she always told me she didn't understand me. She's like, I don't understand you. And I did, I baffled her. She was not a highly sensitive person. And I don't know, I don't think she's an empath, but just the way I thought was so foreign to her way. I'm a spiritual person. She wants to be one, but she's not one. And so she couldn't understand my connection to the divine. Cause I was always saying, you know, like God would tell me something and she'd be like, what are you talking about? And so I felt like an alien in my own, you know, in my own home. And I still grieve that, but my dad understood me. Thank goodness. My dad understood. That was such a gift in my life. But feeling like an alien is, I experience that a lot, because when I share my story with people, they'll be like, you can't even relate to anything that you're saying. And so I started doing mirror work when I was a little girl, so I could have a friend that I could talk to in the mirror. And I would give myself advice when I was sad. And I would say, you know, oh, I'm so sorry that you're sad. I would validate myself. And wow. I would tell myself how sorry I was that I felt sad. And I would say, well, that's terrible, you know, and I, and then, you know, after I felt a little bit better, I would give myself a pep talk and I would say, well, what can we do about this? And, you know, I don't remember. I don't remember all the things that I said to myself. I do remember I validated myself a lot because I love validation. I absolutely crave validation. I lap it up. And then I realized that words of affirmation were really important to me. And so that's another thing that makes such a huge difference when I am grieving. And if there isn't anybody to give me words of affirmation, then I have learned to reparent myself and do inner child work. And sometimes I still can't feel it. Sometimes the pain is so intense that I talk to little Karen. I say, it's okay, little Karen. I put my hand on my heart. I love you. You're safe. But sometimes I can't feel it. I just, the emotions are so escalated that I can't feel it. And so I also do tapping. I'll do tapping, and I've done EMDR sessions, and I'll bring in my imaginary support group. My dad's passed away. He's been gone for about 20 years. And so I imagine him coming and talking to me and, you know, just telling me that he understands. And that's one of the biggest blessings for me, is feeling understood. And I just, being reassured and feeling understood just help me in those grief moments to realize it's okay. And it's okay if I'm grieving. And I, on one of my validations on my phone that I say to myself is the same thing that I say to other people. It's okay. You can take as long as you need. And that, even giving myself permission to take as long as I need to grieve, is the most comforting thing, because as a little girl, I was always told to get over it faster and that I was wrong for having the grieving response and for, you know, having my feelings hurt and being so sensitive. Oh, you're so sensitive. And that hurt me deeply. And I came with that. I mean, I don't know if I came with the day that I was born, but I certainly left the hospital with it. And so I felt that it was interesting, because it was like I was stuck until I would give myself permission to grieve as long as I needed to. And then I'd be like, I could just feel it in my body. I could feel the tension release, and I could feel that the comfort just gave me the ability, not 100%. I didn't go, you know, all the way to feeling peaceful and calm, but I started on the stage and I started to get back, you know, on track with my prefrontal cortex. And then I could go to my phone and read my list of things to do and listen to songs. That was another thing. I would listen to songs that would help me. That was one of my five senses, and that helped so much. But hearing people's voices reassure me is extremely comforting, but there's not always someone to do that. So hearing my own voice is also very comforting.
Thank you. You shared so many wonderful tools. I love those tools. And just that permission, even sometimes we need permission to grieve, to give ourselves permission, right? To just allow ourselves to have those feelings, that grief is a normal, natural reaction to loss and change. But sometimes we do. I know you have to give yourself permission or give other people permission, right? That it's okay, right? That you
can grieve. And I think that's why it affects me so much when I hear someone tell someone else to get over it, because I heard that in different ways, words, but being told that I was so sensitive it wasn't in a way of, it was a compliment.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't a good way.
It wasn't a good way. It was like, you're so sensitive. And that took me, that was an interesting process for me too, because I felt so much shame about being so sensitive for many, many years. I still do. Mm-hmm. But it took me many years because my dad told me that my ability to detect things in different people and to be able to sense things was a gift. He didn't say the word sensitive, so I didn't tie those two together for many years until I was in college and married and things. And then I realized, oh my goodness, my sensitivity is a gift. Mm-hmm. And that helps me in these and these ways. And it helps me with my coaching, and it helps me with my children. It helped me in my marriage. It's helped me, I mean, it still helps me in my marriage. It has helped me in all my relationships. And, but then I still had to continue to work with that because I still felt shame mm-hmm. that I didn't get over it quicker, because I heard in my voice, you're so sensitive. My husband didn't understand my sensitive nature for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when I finally realized that the reason my mom said that to me was she was worried about me. She was worried that I was going to be, you know, in so much pain, and it made her feel helpless. You know, her poor little daughter is just so heartbroken over this, you know, the teacher scolding her at school, and the teacher didn't even scold her. She scolded the whole class, but my daughter thinks the whole teacher was talking to her. Mm-hmm. You know, I was the quiet little one on the front row that didn't ever make a peep. And so, so sometimes I internalized things and misinterpreted things. And so I know my mom was worried about me, and she wanted to help me, and she wanted to, she was trying to help me get over being so sensitive, so I didn't get my feelings hurt so much, so I didn't suffer. Well, I totally understand that now, mm-hmm. but I understood that, you know, before, but it took me many years to understand that. Well, when I understood that from my mom's perspective, first of all, it helped me with my relationship with her, because I realized it didn't come out the way she meant it. So I would say to myself, if she could have said to me at that point in time as a little girl, what would she have said if she could have said it in an ideal situation? Like, my mom didn't have all the training that I do or all the education that's available now. My mom didn't have any podcasts to listen to, you know, or things like that. She did study, you know, child rearing and things, and I'm grateful she did. But when I reframed that and said it to myself the way my mom would have if she could have, I was like, oh, that's what she was trying to say to me. And then I felt better about myself. And so those two things helped me so much to reframe even the thing that causes me grief, you know, so that it helped me to, the thing that I have learned the most, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. is to reframe things so that I don't suffer needlessly. And that is one of my favorite things to coach people on, mm-hmm. is to help them so that they don't suffer like I have. In fact, that's my whole motivation for my podcast. It's my whole motivation for my coaching. It's my motivation in life. It's, you know, I teach my children, I teach my grandchildren. I want them all to learn the things that I wish I would have known.
Go ahead. Carrot, just listening to you, like, seriously, just fills my cup. Thank you so much. And your smile, your voice, I could listen to you all day. Like, I'm not kidding. You're so, you can tell just the inner beauty and, of course, the outer beauty. Thank you so much. And you almost answered what I was going to ask, which I was just so curious. What inspired you to start the Hero Within podcast? Because I cannot wait to listen to your podcast. Please tell us more about it.
Yeah, so I'm writing a book. I've been writing a book for many years, and I've been interviewing people that have gone through difficult situations and how they found hope and healing
Yes.
in their adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And because in my adversity, so many times I'm willing to share with people. And Brené Brown says, that vulnerability is the key to connection.
Yeah.
But I didn't find that in my many of my situations, because I would share my stories and people would say, "I can't even relate to you. I don't understand." And many times people would be blank. They would say nothing. They would just stare at me like this, in horror. And then when they could speak, they would often say, "I don't know what to say." And then they would say, "I can't relate." And that feeling of being an alien was so painful for me. And so I thought, I'll write this book so that people can, even though they might not have the same experience, in this situation or that situation, they will relate to the feelings, because I thought, I may not relate to you and your life and your experiences, but I know how it feels to feel lonely. I know how it feels to feel, rejected or to feel angry or whatever. I can relate to your feelings. And so I can relate to you in any capacity, whatever you've gone through by on a feeling level. And so I wanted people to know that they weren't alone. And then as I've been writing the book, it came to me last year as I was praying about it. I thought, because I was trying to learn how to market and do all these things, and I thought, I could do the podcast for free and people could learn from other people on the podcast. And I thought, oh my goodness, that would be such a gift for people to hear people's story and to see their faces and to hear the intonation in their voice and to feel like they were having a conversation with somebody and know that they weren't alone. And again, that was to alleviate their suffering.
Wow, I love it. I want to say to all our listeners, we have to check this podcast, The Hero Within podcast. And, just because of time, I would love to talk more with you and go deeper, because we can tell the passion that you have. And we would love to bring you back, Karen. We would love to talk more. And also, we'll be sharing your information with our listeners. So it's The Hero Within podcast. If we Google that, we'll find you, right?
Yes, the Hero Within podcast, and my name is Karen Hall. There's another one that has a similar name, but yeah, you'll find me.
Wow. Karen Hall, what a pleasure and an honor to have this chat together. We are so thankful, and we look forward. If you don't mind, we'll contact you, and we are doing
Absolutely.
this again, because I can feel like our listeners would really love to hear more stories from you. Because
Oh,
this is a
thank you.
place where we share openly and we listen with a heart with ears and we share lessons learned through life and loss. That's what you're sharing. And I love it, and it's unique. And we also like to share that it's not only a podcast that we talk about loss or the death of a loved one, but all kinds of losses, because we'll all experience more than 40 losses in our lives. So we are looking forward to inviting you back, and let's do this again where we can go deeper and hear more from you, Karen.
Thank you. I would love that. That would be wonderful. This just touched my heart. It was just so special to be with you today. So thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for the honor of being on Grief Cafe. I really appreciate
Thank
it.
you. And you're so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. I appreciate you so much.
All right. Take care, Karen.